live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 173. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
What's going on, Brandon, man? I know, dude, I know we got a lot to talk about, man. Before we get the rundown, man, I gotta know, did you hit the golf course today?
We did hit the golf course. There was five of us out there. I played okay, not the greatest. We were kind of playing very, very slow, and I hate playing slow, and the group behind us was getting kind of agitated and everything and all that. But Reggie, there was a lot of trash talk between Reggie and a couple other guys that we had out there. So that was a lot of fun. One of the other guys, Elgin, came up to visit, lives down in Memphis area now. He hit a shot. We and Reggie were in front of him. We didn't know he had to hit still, but we saw he'd hit. We'll just move over to the side. Reggie got hit in the arm with a fucking swing.
Oh man. Well, I'm sure
golf ball came flying, hit Reggie right in the wrist.
Damn. That's a million dollar hit right there, man. I'm sure Reggie will call in a little later, man.
He will. He said he was going to.
I want to hear more about you know what I'm saying, the little golf outing. The golf outing that we had last year where I went actually came up on Time Hop, I think about a couple of days ago. But like, yeah, man, and I know you guys have a pretty good time out there. But like, man, we'll catch up with that a little bit later, man. But like, man, give us a show rundown, man. I know we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, later. We got the NBA to talk about. Obviously, the season finished last night. NBA Finals, Milwaukee Buck NBA champions. We'll talk that. Some little bit of off-season news with possible players signings, trades, NBA draft that's coming up next week. Looking forward to that. NFL talk, NFL news and notes. NFL is coming quickly. Training camps have opened. We've got quick hitters tonight, John. WWE just had their Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Some notes from that. The Open down over in Europe. Colin Morikawa winning the British Open. We'll talk that. I've got spent my personal Space Jam 2 review. Spoiler alert.
Oh, man, I can't wait for this one.
Spoiler, have you seen it?
Man, every time I try to turn it on, this is not, I'll let everybody listen to, man. This is not me giving my review of it. Every time I turn it on, man, it's usually like late, and I usually fall asleep 10 minutes into it. So I watched the whole thing over, started over, man, you know what I'm saying? And I kind of just fall asleep in it. I'm not saying it's boring. It's just that I kind of just get into it a little bit later than what I probably should too. You know what I mean? I'll be absorbing a lot of sports, man. So a lot of movies and whatnot, like, you know what I'm saying, anything outside of that, like, don't necessarily get my full attention, man. That's kind of a shame on me, but I'll get into it probably this weekend.
Okay, perfect. So I won't go too much into a spoiler on any of the stuff. I'll just kind of give my review and some quick thoughts I have on it overall. I guess starting out tonight, John, we are starting a half hour later than normal. So thank God we did, because time constraints wise, how slow this round of golf was, I needed to get back in time. So, let's go straight in the NBA, I guess. Might as well. Game six last night, NBA Finals. It had an average 12.52 million viewers last night. It peaked at 16 towards the end of the game, but the Milwaukee Bucks win. They win the series 4-2, 1-4 straight over the Suns. Suns lost four, lost in four. So there you go. How about that? Giannis wins the MVP award, John. As my guy from work told me, who I really want to get him on the show one night, I think you guys would go hand to hand with basketball. He saw something after game two, at the end of game two and beginning of game three, the first 5 minutes within Giannis, that he was like, uh-oh. And I don't think Phoenix obviously could not find a way to contain Giannis. Middleton hitting big shots. But shout out Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis coming through like some of these games and the high stepping on the down low. I about spit out my drink when he was doing the high step up on some of those foul calls. But yeah, I'll give credit, tip my hat to Milwaukee. I had Phoenix to win the whole series, but tip my hat to Milwaukee. I hate that they won because they're a Pacers rival, but tip my hat to them. They win. Giannis MVP deservedly had the 50 burger last night. I don't know what he ended up averaging for the entire series, but it was definitely something where they couldn't stop him. Yeah, he hit his free throws last night. I kind of hated the game a little bit because Giannis could just run down the bully ball down the court and go straight to the free throw line every time. I mean, it wasn't – I don't know. There's not much to it. Bully ball and get to the free throw line, you know? But I give them credit. They won. Is what it is. Drew Holiday had an amazing game five for the Bucks. The way he played well, he put the lockdown defense on Chris Paul. I think Chris Paul only had one good game the entire series. And I think Devin Booker half forgot how to play team basketball because Chris Paul could not run the offense those last games. They couldn't get into a motion set. Devin Booker threw up a lot of weird, interesting shots. And DeAndre Ayton looked like a rookie number 28-5 pick instead of a second-year number one pick. DeAndre Ayton just got torn up, and he did not produce what we needed him to. Well, what he needed to do for the Suns to win. But overall, yeah, I thought it was a good series, competitive. Shout-out Milwaukee.
Some things we're probably going to agree on, some things we're probably obviously going to disagree on. Where do I start? You have to give props to Giannis not chasing the analytics. I think a lot of times, a lot of moments during the regular season and even during some of the early parts of this playoff run, like, you know what I'm saying, the analytics folks that every team has says that you have to match firepower for firepower. So that means we saw all those bad threes he took against the Nets or even some of the questionable shots, you know what I'm saying, we kind of saw him, you know what I'm saying, in the Atlanta series, you know what I mean? But like, no, man, you know, you have to play to your strengths, man. And you know, it's probably not going to be necessarily a story that kind of comes out, in the next couple of days or so, man. You know, this team galvanized itself around Giannis and I would say around the coach, man. This coach was fired. This coach was all but fired. Okay. Now, sweeping the Miami Heat is one thing. You know, a depleted – again, I'm not going to go into the injuries or, like, how much left in tank, but, you know what I'm saying, the last two teams who were in the bubble as far as championship, I mean, they were depleted, you know what I'm saying, from a, you know what I'm saying, what they could give out there. Tyler Hero looked like a rookie last – and he wasn't a rookie last year, you know what I'm saying? So, and they didn't, you know, the Heat didn't – but not to give, you know what I'm saying, a bunch of credence to the past champions, you know, again – If they didn't beat the Nets, he was fired. Coach Budenholzer was fired. You know what I'm saying? There was rumors about him, you know what I'm saying, being a retread coach, he would immediately get rehired somewhere else because he is good, just not in-game good. He's good at coming up with the plan and coming up with a way to react to a team's defense or how they're playing his team offensively. And you know, hell, man, you can see he coaches and prides himself on having a defensive team. Pat Connaughton, sometimes he can't sit the side of the right side of a barn with, you know what I'm saying, with the basketball, man. But like, he keeps him out there because he makes plays, either with a crafty offensive rebound or a steal. You know what I'm saying? So he finds, you know what I'm saying, role players' minutes, you know what I'm saying, in the rotation. But again, I think those are the two. And we put Middleton in there. So Middleton turned on a gear that a lot of folks didn't think he could have, you know what I'm saying, as a secondary, even though he's paid as a secondary superstar. And a lot of times, you know what I'm saying, he didn't come up. He'd come up short. You know what I'm saying? He'd have a 14 for 16 game. Four for 16 type of game where, like, dude, Chris Middleton, like, you know what I'm saying, where's you the support staff, you know what I'm saying? I don't necessarily like the term Robin, you know what I'm saying, or anything like that. But you're the support guy. You're the support superstar, you know what I'm saying? They depend on you. And, like, sometimes, you know what I'm saying, that didn't happen. But, again, you know, he flipped on the switch itself. So. I would say Giannis is definitely the anchor offensively, you know what I'm saying? He's definitely the defensive anchor, you know what I'm saying? He's one of the few players, He's one of his only three that's won Defensive Player of the Year and MVP and All-Star MVP. You know what I'm saying? In his short career, he's only 26, which is that's even crazier, right? You could say, you know what I'm saying, he does take the bull in China shop type of mentality. You know what I'm saying? You know, the Nets kind of showed that when they try to build a wall. I don't think Phoenix has had a wall. Phoenix plays with one big, and that would be DeAndre Ayton, and they play with like a lot of wing players. Mikal Bridges is a wing player. Cameron Payne is a point guard. You know, and we know with Chris Paul, and they're interchangeable. Chris Paul and Booker are interchangeable at both the guard positions. So they really needed it. I would say what Phoenix needed was another, you know, since I'm more rotational guys. I'm not saying Sark, who went out and injured earlier in the series, would have been that guy. You know what I'm saying? But you kind of see what Kaminsky did for him in this little spot minutes that he had. You know, but again, like I said, Giannis is the reason the Bucks won the championship. Again, Brandon, we'll go here on the Phoenix side here in a second, and more in depthly, like who's blamed? Did CPC choke? Was the referee a bad omen for him? All those things I don't necessarily believe in. You know what I mean? I think CP3 just, you know, for a 36-year-old point guard, no excuses, man. He played. I think he had one bad game for sure. And you know what I'm saying, a lot of times the ball seemingly kind of got away from him. But like, hey, man, like, you know, the other team's trying too. They really are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but he had really bad turnovers, and he hadn't had
and
that.
I want to say this though, Brandon. So we go. I give all the credit for Giannis and Middleton and like I said, Coach Budenholzer for turning the switch and taking advantage of the opportunity, man. Would Phoenix even be here without Chris Paul? I mean, you know, they had Kelly Oubre and some other younger pieces last year, and I think they were like six games outside of the bubble. Which I mean, they had a great bubble run. I mean, they were undefeated, and when the Orlando bubble restarted, the NBA season restarted last year. But they are a wildly different team with Chris Paul being their leader. Again, I don't know what kind of happens in the off season. You know what I'm saying, with his potential free agency or whatnot. You are right in your assessment. DeAndre Ayton, man, it's a tough load, man, for him to basically kind of block out, not only block out or even, you know what I'm saying, defend. Like he's responsible for the paint, right? But they're coming at him. You know what I'm saying? Who else is the big on this team? It's big enough to block out Lopez, big enough to block out Giannis. You know what I'm saying? So I know, you know, if we forget, you know, this is the same Milwaukee Bucks team that won two games without Giannis. If we remember, you know what I'm saying, when Lopez went off for those two games, and we had a career game with 34 against Atlanta. So this is a real solid team the Milwaukee Bucks have put together, and they have a superstar for sure. Ain't no doubt about that. And they took advantage of the position they were put in.
Yeah, I do also want to make a point, and I put this on Twitter as well. People with Giannis's block that he had in Game 5 in Phoenix. Let's just go ahead and pump the brakes. Let's pump the brakes. I know everybody was in the moment, yada yada. Let's pump the brakes, because a lot of stuff on social media I'm seeing how that's the greatest block in NBA Finals history. Do people forget the LeBron chase down block against the Golden State Warriors in 2016? I mean, that's the greatest block of all time in the NBA Finals. So let's pump the brakes there right now. I know some people are probably caught up in the moment, but let's pump them, because that was a little much. Secondly, I'll give Giannis credit. I always said I wasn't the biggest Giannis guy, but you know what? I'll give him credit, because he also had a chance, and he said in his press conference, you know, he could have went the easy route. He could have done a super team. But you know what? He stayed in Milwaukee. He built that team. They got the right pieces around it. Does it give hope to other small market teams? Yeah, it probably does. But as an Indiana Pacers fan and an Indiana Pacers optimistic about the Pacers, you got to spend money. And that's what they did to keep Giannis. We didn't want to do it.
Right. You bring up a tremendous point. I don't want it to get clouded anything what you're getting ready to say, man. So they signed a superstar. He wanted to stay, but what did they bring in? How many first-round draft picks did it take them to get Jrue Holiday? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. PJ Tucker. They were heavy enough to get him off the waiver wire. I don't think they traded.
But no, they traded for him in March from Houston.
Okay, good. Right. So again, you're moving capital to bring him in. Again, they wanted Bogey. They went, ended up going to Atlanta. They had a deal. If anybody remembers, they're listening.
Yep.
They had a deal to bring him to the Bucks, and then he kind of thought about it. And I wonder if he's thinking seconds. I wonder if he's having second thoughts now that the Bucks put him out, and the Bucks actually went on to win the championship. But the Bucks tried. You're right. You're 100% right, man. They smartly drafted and then they spent money. And in the small market, I don't think they went over the cap or anything like that, but they did use the draft capital that they had to make, you know what I'm saying? It was a gamble, but the gamble ultimately played off.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Simon and Pritchard, if you want to see the pedigree to win this and what to do, the how-to book, look exactly what they did. Chris Middleton, they got him from a trade with the Detroit Pistons. Hell, Middleton played for the Mad Ants. He could have got picked up by the Pacers at some point if he wanted to. But if you're looking at this roster, Chris Middleton, he signed, he's got an option in 2023-24. So there's that, depending on what they do. Giannis, you know, he's making $39 million next year, then $42, $45, $48 for his, $203 million total. Drew Holiday's contract, he's making $34 million. It doesn't look sexy, John. I'll say this about their payroll, because I think they're going to have some problems in the coming years that they're going to have to change some cash around, evaluate exactly who they're going to have. I mean, yeah, Brooke Lopez, he's making $13 million. He's got 2 years left on his deal, but between Middleton at 37, Giannis at 39, and Drew Holiday at 30. I mean, that's $90 million right there, which some teams would be loving to have that much capital. Which these TV deals might be able to do it. I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see. I will say this: put the Reef guarantee on. The Milwaukee Bucks will not win the NBA title next year. They may come close again. But they ain't going to win it. I think it was a proper scenario for them this year.
Yeah, very. A lot of things, you know, if I think the thing about what people say about Eli Manning, a lot of things, you have to be lucky and good. And Eli Manning is more good. He's more lucky than he is good. You know, and however you want to debate that. The road they took to get this particular route, again, nobody foresaw Kyrie getting injured or anything like that. I did say you can't trust James. I did say this. I didn't think he'd get this level of injury to my James Harden, but you can't trust James Harden. He played well, but you cannot trust James Harden. James Harden, ever since he left Oklahoma City in the playoff runs, any team that he's been on, you know what I'm saying, Houston and now the Nets, come May, like, you know, come April, May, James Harden, you know what I'm saying, we need a bat signal for you. You know what I mean? So, but you think about it, though, Brandon. You have to, man. Like, nobody foresaw the come-ups of Atlanta either. So, but a lot of factors kind of, you know what I'm saying, played into dating, you know what I'm saying. I'm not going to say Phoenix was still a good team. They were number two, I believe, in the East. I can't take that away. It'll be harder for them. It will be harder for them to repeat for sure next year. As you know, the NBA, everybody's going to retool. Mm-hmm. The major markets are going to retool. There's going to be a change potentially in Portland, potentially change in L.A. Pick your L.A. team. There's going to be a change in Oakland with the Warriors. There's going to be a change potentially in New York. Pick your teams. You know what I'm saying? Which one of those teams is going to have a change? So it's going to be harder for them to repeat. Do I think he gets another championship? I would say yes. I just don't know about a repeat.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I'll agree with that 100%. Let me ask you this, because this was – I heard this out on the golf course on sports radio when I had it on. Has Giannis – and take away your you might be have a bias the fact that they just won a title last night. He just scored 50 burger. Is Giannis now the overall number one NBA player in the league?
I can't go there wholeheartedly, man. He's a tough cover, and like he looks like he's a guy that is willing to work. He's still gonna ultimately own the Pacers. Sorry, Sabonis. Sorry, Miles Turner. Right, but that's just one team out of the 30. You know what I'm saying? But Brandon, you know, King's getting older. You know, there. But you know, Durant. You know, part of being great is being available. You know what I'm saying? Playing these half seasons, man, you know, I can't necessarily put a crown on him either. And he's, you know what I'm saying, yeah, regardless of his two MVPs, he has regular season MVP and the MVPs that he's won in the final, he still got it. You know, there's still that specter of, you know what I'm saying, you did it on the Warriors watch. You did it with Steph's team. You did it, you know what I'm saying, with a 73-19. You know what I'm saying? But again, I still point to the fact that he's a half the season kind of player right now. Great when he plays. But, you know, still half the season. It still would be, all that being said, he still would be at the top of the heap. LeBron would still be at the top of the heap. A healthy AD, man, it's a toss-up if he's the best power forward or if Giannis is the best power forward. I will say this, though, man, you know what I'm saying, as far as that particular debate, I think Giannis is definitely in the top five, to answer your question. Okay, and then if you look at it even more narrowly, AD, I would edge Giannis over AD. Giannis obviously doesn't have the jump shot capability or some of the passing capabilities that Anthony Davis has, but he got everything else, and everything else kind of he steps up. You know, what I'm saying, steps up in the moment, man. And like I said, he's very durable, and he's, you know, what I'm saying, he's always out there on the floor. You know, what I'm saying, so I would edge that. So I mean, Giannis is taking the lead, man, for sure, taking the lead into the top five.
Shout out Larry Sanders. He's getting a ring.
Oh God! Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah, the Bucks are still paying his salary from when he was reached a contract buyout in 2015. It was 7 years. They spread out his $15 million over the next 7 years. So he's got one more year. Next year he's getting paid his salary for. Let's see, how much is he getting? I just read. $1.8 million next year for Larry Sanders. So since he's still getting paid by the team, I'm pretty sure he's getting a ring.
I wonder if Michael Redd gets a ring, man. I know he don't.
My big dog.
Michael Redd, big dog, big dog. Big dog got a ring, I think, with the Spurs. He was on one of the Spurs teams.
R.I.P. Big Tractor.
Oh,
tractor
wow,
trailer.
We'll go through the whole great Milwaukee Bucks of greats. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So
shout out to our homie, Ricky Pierce from back in the day, but you know,
yeah, Ricky's probably up there in Milwaukee, the Deer District celebrating.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So Milwaukee Bucks, NBA champions, sad to see the season end. I was really hoping for a game seven, but, shout out to them, John. And, yeah, Giannis' rookie year, Larry Drew was their head coach. They went 15-67. So then they went 41 wins, 33, 42, 44, 60, 56, and then a shortened season, 46. So, Milwaukee did it again, champions in 1971, Big O. But, they did it, and we get a laugh in the Pacers' face again because another team within our divisions won an NBA title that we have not. I think we're the only ones. Yeah, we're the last ones in our division not to win a title. So.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah,
no,
damn.
Right. Is that right?
Yeah. Chicago.
Damn, even Cleveland. Oh, my God. Even
Detroit, Cleveland. Yeah, we're the last one. I mean, Milwaukee won 71, but, yeah.
It's Toronto. Toronto's no longer. They moved Toronto, but Toronto used to be in the Central Division. So yeah, even Toronto guys are dang on Pacers. Got
so did Atlanta.
Got a lot of work, Kevin Pritchard. Atlanta's not in our.
No, they used to be.
They used to be, but now they in the South. They,
hey,
back,
real,
they in Miami. Go ahead.
Real quick on Chris Paul. If you look at NBA players who have not won a ring, Karl Malone. Allen Iverson, Charles Barkley, where Does Chris still need a ring?
I mean, and, you know, in this media-sensitive world, yeah. In the grand scheme of basketball and NBA greats, man, there's been a lot of great players. You just named some of them, man. Karl Malone and Charles Barkley are top 50. When they brought up, if everybody remembers that top 50 list, they were still playing. That's how good Karl Malone and Charles Barkley are. Allen Iverson, if they did another top 50, I'm sure he would be in it. You know what I'm saying? As iconic and as he was on and off the floor. You know what I'm saying? In this media sense, well, I mean, getting the championships puts you in a different level of conversation, kind of like I said with Giannis and the other two guys, that meaning Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon, who's won Defensive Player of the Year and MVP as well. You know what I'm saying? That puts you in a different level of conversation. Yeah, kind of puts you in a different level of conversation, man. There's no way. There's no Pacer. I won't say the Pacer. There's no other player that I can think of that if I had the opportunity – you know what I'm saying? In that particular draft that they had, right? You know what I'm saying? Let's say, you know what I'm saying, 84, my favorite team, it's the Pacers, right? And we have a chance, to, you know what I'm saying? Michael Jordan's already off the board. Hakeem Olajuwon's off the board. You know what I mean? There's no way I would not select Charles Barkley. You know what I'm saying? In 85, there's no way I wouldn't select, you know what I'm saying, after whoever, you know what I'm saying? The Pacers selected Rick Smith. They probably should have selected Karl Malone, right, in 85. But you know what I'm saying, these guys are iconic. You know what I'm saying? They have great numbers. Karl Malone's number two. I think he's number three all time scorer. He might be number two all time leading scorer in the NBA. Man, so does that mean he's a lesser player than Kevin Garnett because Kevin Garnett has a championship? Absolutely not. You know what I'm saying? Does that mean that Kevin McHale's greater than him? That because he has three championships and Karl Malone has none. I would say absolutely not in that as well, man. So I love me some Kevin McHale. You know what I mean? I love me some Dirk Nowitzki too. But does that mean Dirk Nowitzki is better than Karl Malone or Charles Barkley? Debatable, but I would say no. So like no, to get it from this media sense of the world, where Twitter, people lose your mind, and you know what I'm saying, every morning you wake up with a new meme and you know what I'm saying, whatnot.
Yeah.
Yes, but like no, man. Chris Paul, if you retire today, you know what I'm saying? They don't give yellow jackets at the Basketball Hall of Fame, but he'd be wearing a yellow jacket.
Yeah, 11-time All-Star, 4-time assist champ, 6-time steal champ, 10-time All-NBA, 9-time All-Defense, Rookie of the Year, All-Star Game MVP. Yeah, definitely. I think he's going to definitely get in. And it's interesting with Chris Paul now because he was on a one-year deal on that trade to Phoenix. Phoenix obviously is going to look to try to sign him. But it was also mentioned today that the Lakers are going to be looking at targeting Russell Westbrook and or Chris Paul to come in as the veteran point guard for this Lakers team now that they're not signing – they couldn't sign Schroeder to an extension. So Chris Paul to the Lakers part two before I got asked by David Stern. So we'll see.
Adam,
go ahead.
Adam Silver loves, you know what I'm saying, player movement. I think he embraces it, man. It's not trying to make you stay, you know what I'm saying, anchored up to a particular franchise. That's not where your heart desires to be. So we'll see, man. I don't necessarily – I mean, we'll get into that. We can when free agency kind of starts, Brandon. I could bore everybody and you to death about why that would be a good move. But me personally, I think that would be a poor move, you know what I'm saying. But
right.
No, I'm like, no, man, this goes – what's the next topic, man?
Well, we got a call. We got our caller
okay,
from the KFAB Connection, Fred Feltner. What's going on, Fred?
What up, Doe? How's it going?
Detroit.
Yes, sir. Number one pick.
1 week away. On the clock.
Cade Cunningham taking pictures with all the little Chandlers and Trevors hanging out at Copa in Detroit. I saw him on Twitter posting with all those dorks.
Oh, man.
But those dorks from Birmingham that were like, oh, well, let's go to Detroit and before it gets too dark, you know. Yeah, those guys. But yeah, Cade Cunningham taking in a Tigers game, that definitely is something makes you more comfortable with the draft, even though, like I said, I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell they take anybody but Cade. But yeah, that got me super excited seeing that, so it kind of made it more real, to be honest with you, you know.
Okay. What else you got?
Me or Bird?
Either one of you.
He was talking to you, Fred. But I kind of thought a little the same thing, man. It's probably a sign still delivered. I don't know. I think Detroit also brought in Suggs and Evan Mobley in the individual workouts, I do believe. But I think Kevin Cunningham's their guy. There was a talk about Houston and Cleveland inquiring about in Oklahoma, about, you know what I'm saying, doing some pick swaps, sending, you know what I'm saying, because Detroit's kind of loaded at that wing position at shooting guard, small forward. But, I mean, Kay can play both shooting guard and point guard. So, but that was just, you know what I mean, that was just some kind of talk, banter. I don't think they listened to it at all. And I think they select, I mean, you know what I'm saying, come the 23rd, next Thursday, he's the number one overall pick in this NBA draft. Without a doubt.
And you know what? I don't know if this is too bombastic of a statement, but I think with Cade and these all-rookie dudes coming into their own in the second year, I don't think it's too far-fetched for the Pistons to sneak into a play-in or an eight-seed position where they're going to sneak their way into the playoffs. Is that too much of a homer statement, or what do you guys
think? I don't know, man. The East ain't that
I think it is, coming off of back-to-back 20-win seasons. I mean, guy's knocking out. I don't think one guy's going to do 20 wins.
Well,
right.
The Suns did it in 2 years, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to deflate your balloon, but.
Now, Fred, to answer that, I kind of had his feeling as like a window of 2 to 3 years where you'll see him, you know what I'm saying, impose his will. I remember, Fred, the Detroit Pistons still got Killian Hayes, who they lost to injury. You know what I'm saying, early on this past season. And like I said, they got a lot of other great –
Sadiq Bey?
Yeah, Sadiq, right. They got a lot of other great –
Isaiah Stewart, yeah. Jeremy Grant scoring like 20-something points a game. Yeah.
So, and then you know, Dwayne Casey is a great coach. So, but I, like I said, man, the East ain't that weak just yet.
Is Dwayne – were you scoffing at Dwayne Casey being a good coach?
I am. The fact you go from an NBA champion to a 20-win team. I mean, damn.
well, the one thing they can't take away from him is Coach of the Year. So they don't just hand those out to jabronis who don't know what they're doing. Like, it happens.
The thing, too,
you got to consider is you're out there coaching a bunch of prima donnas that, you know, let's face it, there's people that get into – you know, situations where their play isn't matching what is being expected out of them on the X's and O's. There's off-the-court drama. There's all kinds of stuff that goes into that you could look at a team that has a championship-caliber team. You're just one injury or one incident away from things just completely shaking the team up, you know? Like, see the malice at the palace. Sorry to make those Pacer fans bitter. Speaking of that, did you see Netflix doing a documentary on that? On the malice at the palace?
I saw that.
I will be watching that, eating popcorn, and I'll throw a paper cup at my TV like that fan did to Ron Artest. I'm going to throw a paper cup at my TV. Celebrate.
It's ripping the heartstrings out.
Fred, we would be hard-pressed not to ask you. I know Brandon probably wants to ask you about Money in the Bank. But
I'm actually not, because Fred made me upset the other night with that.
Uh-oh.
Oh, what did I say?
Go ahead.
Hold on. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's get to the bottom of this first, Bird. What did I say that upset
Fred? I was just upset, Fred, that you didn't give it a chance. You didn't like the kind of scenario where they were going to be going with it. We kind of talked about it a little bit ahead of time with it. Cena got
Brandon,
a loud pop.
Did you tell Bird what I said when he told me, oh, man, you were, like, marking out over, does Bird know what I said?
I said 11:15 at night. I go, Edge versus Reigns was a great match. And he says, I'm asleep on the couch.
Dude, I was knocked out on the couch watching Wonder Years. Like, no, I had no idea. I woke up to just a flurry of messages on my phone, and then someone sent me like a little like clip of it, and so my wife even was laughing at me because I was sleeping sitting up like a grandpa with my phone in my hand, And for whatever reason, when my phone kept going off, I like maybe nudged my phone or something, and the John Cena theme started playing. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, why is John Cena's theme? And I looked down, and he's like staring at Rain. So like a friend sent me a clip. So yeah, I had a flurry of messages, including yours, that woke me up on the couch from falling asleep to season 5 of The Wonder Years.
Shout out Wonder Years. They're coming out with a new series of it, revamped.
That's going to be incredible.
Oops. I was shocked. I really was. Because I've been thinking John Cena is a movie actor now. So I was kind of shocked for him to show up, you know what I'm saying, at the Money in the Bank. As far as Big E winning, I want to go back, and then we can come back to John Cena and Roman Reigns' spot if you want. As far as Big E winning, I'll be honest with you, man. I'm a Prince Puma, and he's Prince Puma to me. I know everybody knows him as Ricochet. I'm a Prince Puma kind of guy. He had some great spots in them, as did Kevin Owens as well, man. But you know, Big E's been around longer. It probably makes for better drama going further with him having it than Ricochet or even Kevin Owens, who's had it before. It was good. Not saying I don't like Seth Rollins as a character, but it's good that Seth Rollins didn't win. You know what I'm saying?
No, we're past the mark out moments for Seth Rollins winning anything. Like, he's kind of the company, annoying company man, and he's kind of done what he's done in the company. He's a great wrestler.
Right.
I don't really care for the Monday Night Messiah stuff. It's just not really my cup of tea.
I think if he gets another push,
babyface maybe.
Yes, if he gets a babyface push, dating back to our conversation last week, I think he could be one that'd be a realistic one to beat Reigns, because he has before in the past.
I don't see it though. I don't see him being.
I mean, I don't think it's in the card, but I can.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. It can go to either one of you. The female Money in the Bank match, I thought, you know, they told a story for Liv Morgan, the underdog story, to win it. They were going to give her the big push. And then last minute, I guess they said, from what I've read, is they said, nope, everybody knows too much already. There's already pictures out of everything. We're going to go Nikki, the superhero, whatever crap. And she just goes right up the thing and gets it. I was kind of like, okay, it wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but at least it's not your same old winning it. Like, give me a Natalya or a Tamina or somebody like that winning it. I was like, okay, well, we can see what happens. I did kind of want to see Naomi win, or her get a push to win a title, because if you put Naomi, you have the Usos, shout out, get a DUI, win a tag title, and you put them in the tribe with the tribal chief Roman, and they all have the gold and they're all bought in. And then you bring in Tamina even with that heritage, and you bring in, say, Nia Jax. That could be a huge stable, huge championship stable, if they really wanted to do it.
I like everything you kind of said about that. The change might be because who they wanted her to face
right.
might be out. You know what I'm saying? That might be that. I don't necessarily get WWE booking. They you know what I'm saying? Side parallel conversation. They took Karrion Kross and moved him up, right? I know I mentioned his name. They moved him up. He's NXT champ, Crayon, whatever his name is. They moved him up, and then you job him out the first night. You move him up.
You gotta work your way up, John. It's not always sunshine.
Like, you know the reason. You guys know the reason for this, though. Vince McMahon didn't create it. So if Vince McMahon didn't create it, we gotta knock him down a peg, pal. We're gonna have Triple H beat Sting at Mania, pal. Like, that's what they do. They get members of the Bullet Club in. What do? Oh, the club. And it's like this watered down, Payless, weird, like, nothing really ever came of it. And you're like, dude, you have 4 members of the Bullet Club in your company, and people would lose their minds if you, like, put them all together and, say, throw in, like, an Adam Cole or something. People would lose their minds over it. I mean, look at that. They were supposed to do a Finn Balor Demon versus Bray Wyatt, Sister Abigail match at a TLC. And that's when everybody, like, broke down and got that, like, weird ailment. Like, everybody was sick. And they had to fly AJ Styles in to do an impromptu match with Finn Balor. And it was a banger. Like, it was an amazing match. And it'd be one thing if they actually planned for it, but they didn't. They were going to have freaking Bray Wyatt go out there with, a Norman Bates status with a wig on, like, whatever they were planning for Sister Abigail. It's like, that's always been their Achilles heel, is like Vince McMahon will cut his nose off to spite his face. And that just shows you how arrogant they are with how much money they've made from network deals, that they'll take a guy that's been undefeated. But hell, they did it with Asuka. You talk about the women's division. They did it with Asuka. Look at Asuka was undefeated for like damn near 3 years.
Right.
And then she goes to Mania, which was the last Mania that I attended, which was in New Orleans, and she lost to Charlotte, and we all know how that Mania went. Like, that Mania was atrocious. And you see stuff like that, and as a wrestling fan, you just go, this is the people that I get behind and I get excited about, they don't care about that. They got their network money. And they're just going to kind of do what they do, and you're going to see random things like Karrion Kross lose to Jeff Hardy in 4 minutes, and he's been undefeated for his whole stint in NXT. Like, what is the plan? Like, what's the end game besides Charlotte Flair beating her dad's fake title record and Roman Reigns being head of the table? Like, what are the plans? Well, what about Becky? Like, who is she feuding with? Because the Four Horsewomen are only going to be able to do so much, man. She's on a milk carton, dude. She wasn't with Karrion Kross. We need to put her on those "Have you seen me?" things on the envelopes.
Hold on. So to answer your first question, Charlotte and Becky are probably going to have a match. Charlotte and Becky 25 is going to be probably at WrestleMania. There's no reason to bring Becky back right now while you've got all the talent you have. Scarlett, they did not want to put her in. From what I've seen, they wanted to try to have him go a solo route at first, and then they wanted to bring her in on her own and then have the two come together. They didn't want to pull off a Rusev-Lana type coming to the WWE.
Scarlett, no disrespect, because I can't wrestle, because I'm not a wrestler, but Scarlett's not really a good wrestler. Like, she's more of a valet. Like, she's kind of like a Lana type, where you're good to, like, she'll be the eye candy, and she'll be a great valet and a great wrestling worker, but like a character worker, but it's like a worker. That's the problem, is, like, outside of the Four Horsewomen, who is somebody that hasn't been booked all to hell like an Asuka that you can really get behind that's going to, like, revamp the women's division? Because either you or Bird, are you with me on that? Do you kind of feel like the Four Horsemen?
I do.
It's kind of like, I'm not going to say stale, but, like, you're kind of running out of options with them? Like,
yes.
Like, what more can you do?
They can only face each other so many times, I feel like, a year. And
well, Bayley and Sasha, it seems like that's always, we gotta have that at SummerSlam or Mania. It's like, dude, nothing will ever be better than that Brooklyn Takeover match. That was one of the best wrestling matches that I've ever seen, man or women. Like, I loved that match as a wrestling match, as a wrestling fan with wrestling kayfabe stuff. That was one of my favorite matches. Nothing will ever top that. So what's the point of going to the well 5 more times when nothing's ever going to live up to the magic that was that? It's just, it's that kind of stuff, you know? When I think about, oh, well, the women's division, or, oh, what are they doing? Like, what are they doing? Like, their women's division, it's getting passed up, man. And you never would think so, but it's really getting passed up right now. And especially with women like Candice LeRae and poor Shotzi Blackheart's one of my favorites. On the roster, she just got called up to SmackDown. It's like you're starting to get fearful of these people. Toni Storm, you know, she got called up to SmackDown. I get worried for them. I'm huge fans of theirs. You start to get worried about, ugh, because you see what happened to Karrion Kross. you see what happened to people like Asuka, you're like, dude, like, you hate to be a pessimist, but
right.
the track record, it kind of speaks for itself. You're kind of, you have every right to be a little pensive about your favorite wrestler getting called up to the main roster, you know?
Yeah. I got something we do can't agree on, both. And it's the fact, Fred, that I'm tired, you're tired, Jonathan's tired, I think the whole WWE Universe is tired. I don't need to see Goldberg's old ass come back again for another match. I know it's in his contract, but damn, who's next? Okay, Bobby.
I've never liked Bill Goldberg. I've never liked him. I saw right through the gimmick in WCW because I was a huge Nitro fan. Yes, I rooted for Hollywood Hogan. I did not like Bill Goldberg because you just saw right through it. Again, some of my favorite wrestlers aren't the most exciting people, like William Regal and Dean Malenko. Dude, that match William Regal worked with Goldberg in WCW is legendary. This dude's trying to chain wrestle Goldberg. And Goldberg's having none of it. Like, he's so pissed off. He's like, you're not going to make me look like a jabroni on live TV. Like, I'm going to make you look like an idiot. So, yeah, it's like, for me, it dates all the way back to the Nitro days. And especially now, like, I didn't care then. Now, all these decades, like, these years later, I really don't care. About a 5-minute match, like, who gives a crap? But all the people in attendance doing their little Goldberg, and it's the moment, and it's cool, and the sparklers, and it's cool. But then, like, they get in the ring, and then you're like, all right, well, this is kind of ridiculous. You know, like, a 5-minute match with a guy that does, like, 3 moves.
Fred, let me ask you this.
Go ahead, Brent.
Let me ask you this again. I'm nervous, as much as you're nervous with the NXT people that come up, and I was too, because I was really, really big on, and it stuck with me, the fact that the program they could have had with Robert Roode and how it just got fumbled completely. So that kind of stuck to me. But I'm nervous, Fred, with the fact that, okay, you have whatever his other name is now, but Aleister Black and all these other people that are coming up to AEW. And right now, besides, you know, the Dark Show, yeah, that's nice, but network television, what, like, there's not enough minutes in the hour on a TV program to get everybody these matches.
Right.
There's going to be people left out in AEW right now. And the fact that CM Punk's training and is most likely going to come back to AEW, that's going to push somebody else out. It's just like WWE putting
they're debuting a new. Yeah, but that's why they're debuting a new show on Friday. So you'll have Dark, and you'll have Dynamite, and then you'll have Rampage on Friday nights. So, and they're taping all of these pretty much like in succession. So all the people that come out and travel, you're either going to be on a Dark or a Dark Elevation or a Dynamite or a Rampage. So you have 4 shows to choose from. You know, which that's double of what WWE puts out. And, I mean, I don't know the exact number of roster, like, talent that travel for WWE, but I would dare say, like, doesn't WWE have more talent on their roster? And I use talent not in the sense of more talent, but talent as in humans and individuals. Do they have more people coming to tapings than AEW? I don't know. But they only have 2 shows. AEW is producing 4 television shows, 2 of which will be on YouTube, and 2 of which will be on, you know, TNT and TBS. So there's 4 shows that have, what is that, 3, 5, 7 hours of content? Like, surely everybody's going to be into it. And this is the cool thing about them. They haven't done what maybe WWE did with Shotgun Saturday Night, Velocity, Main Event, where 205 Live, where something that was really cool and you kind of wanted to see what happened. Remember, like, dude, Sunday Night Heat used to be tight back in the day. It would be on MTV, and, like, The Rock and Triple H would be cutting promos. You're, like, clicking into MTV before the actual pay-per-view. You know, it was, like, it was cool. It was compelling. Now it's, like, they tell you not to bother. Like, don't bother. Nothing big will ever happen on these shows. No title switch hands. No storylines worth a piss will make it. with these shows, there's cool, there's good wrestling happening on Dark. If you watch Dark, it's the same thing with like New Japan Strong. New Japan Strong
right.
matches have been better than the damn New Japan matches.
Right.
The
right.
New Japan Strong show on Friday nights that you can get on the New Japan World app. Those matches have been better than the New Japan shows, Dominion and, you know, Wrestling Grand Slam. Like these matches are better. So for me, I view it differently just because I feel like everybody's going to get utilized because there's so much of a platform and they haven't shot themselves in the foot yet with like, hey, Dirk's for the jobbers and the indie guys, watch Dynamite and who cares about Rampage? Like they're going to build everything up to where you watch all of it and all of these storylines matter.
Fred, I think you hit the nail on the head, man. And you're saying when I was a kid, it was all about the territory, and then Vince bought all the territories and basically essentially bought all the wrestlers. Now it's about the platform. I think the state of the business, whether it's WWE, Impact, NWA, Ring of Honor, you know what I'm saying? I know we very rarely do we talk about them, mention them, but I think the state of wrestling from a platform standpoint is in a pretty good spot. Could it be better? For sure. You know what I'm saying? I don't think sometimes any of these companies necessarily use their total imagination. You know what I'm saying? They kind of go for the quick pop, including, you know what I'm saying, or they're looking at what they're doing, you know what I'm saying, instead of just worrying about what you're doing correctly, you know what I'm saying? But I think the platforms, you know what I'm saying, it's made it feel like back in the day where you know what I'm saying, you had the AWA in Minnesota and they ruled Minnesota and Wisconsin that with Wisconsin blocking, and then the World Class had Texas and Oklahoma, and the NWA had Georgia and Florida, you know what I'm saying? So it kind of feels that way, not necessarily that thing, because everybody hasn't necessarily started touring just yet, and I think Impact, you know what I'm saying, still has a lot of things that need to work out, you know what I'm saying? But, like, no, man, I think the state of wrestling is kind of healthy, I would say, right now.
Oh, yeah, and I know it's anecdotal, but, like, on a weekly basis, my phone blows up with, oh, dude, those Bear Country dudes, they had a couple matches on Dark. Man, they're wrestling on Dynamite tonight. It's not like I don't know who these people are or I go, man, I haven't seen so-and-so in so long. But the beauty of that and having that kind of rotation, like you were saying, where you kind of like, it's not really a territory because it's one company and you have shows, but you tune into different shows, you're kind of getting a different vibe from the different shows. Like one's a TV show, one is just a straight, like we're just going to usher out wrestlers and they're just going to have wrestling matches where it kind of almost feels like a house, like a fun house show. And then
right.
Rampage is kind of that Thunder show where you can like extend storylines. I know that's the lazy comparison to call it Thunder, but you can like extend storylines, maybe title switch hands and stuff, not the major ones, but like, maybe you could see the TNT title switch hands or IWGP US or, you know, and they've done it. Like I said, every week I get all kinds of, hey, did you see this match on Dark? No, not yet, but I'm going to check it out right now. Oh, you know,
right.
Luchasaurus
right.
had this match on. Like, I don't see it being something where I'm like, oh, I haven't seen them in a while. They're not really doing anything with them right now. Like, we might agree and disagree on like characters and their pushes and like who's really kind of making noise and who isn't, but like,
right.
am I forgetting people are in the company or like flat out, like they're not doing anything with them. They're just sitting and catering. There's nobody. I can't think of one wrestler that's active that isn't injured that I'm like, they're not doing anything with them. Right. Like everybody's kind of got something going on. It seems right now. So that's why I would feel sort of passionately to be kind of against that mindset of like, oh, well, there's too many wrestlers and not enough time. I think there's plenty of time. But I think the chess move really for them is going to be signing Bryan Danielson and CM Punk. And
ooh.
I know that's, again, a cheap argument, but Fightful leaked that news today that CM Punk's in talks, and it's pretty much a given that he's going to go to AEW. And Bryan Danielson, they confirmed that, PWI confirmed that he is no longer in contract talks with WWE. So you know he's not going back. If you watched SummerSlam, I heard that, or not SummerSlam, but Money in the Bank, that the video package for Reigns and Edge showed the match at Mania, but they didn't show Daniel Bryan. So they've been cutting all of Daniel Bryan's stuff out. So the writing's kind of on the wall for that. And I truly feel that if both Brian and Punk come, that we now start seeing a lot of but this fall is going to be pretty crazy for wrestling, because it'll definitely bring out, hopefully bring out the best in WWE. Let's hope Vince isn't too arrogant, but you would hope it would motivate them to be like, all right, we really got to get our A game and like really start using people and making really compelling TV shows. And on the other end, you got, on the other end, you got people that could have been the Brett and the HBK of their time, and Brian and Punk, and they had one match against each other. So there's a lot of magic that you could work with them, either as a tag or a feud. Not right off the bat.
Sure.
You kind of got to build to it. But they wasted a future Brett and HBK type scenario with them. So that you could do with them. So that's all I wanted to say about that.
Well, I see that's your wet dream as far as wrestling needs to happen. I'm hoping Billy Corgan. My wet dream is I hope Billy Corgan sends off, maybe sells off part of his Smash and Puppets contract, that his discography, and he can sign one of those guys up to an NWA contract, and we can see one of those guys, another major player, go to a different place. Because there's a working agreement anyway between NWA and AEW, you know what I mean? I don't know. I kind of like I said, Brent, you kind of hammered it home, man. The wrestling world is kind of opening up now. And it's, you know what I'm saying, it's kind of up to the promoters and the informers to put their best foot forward. So
since it's my wet dream, can I do a Super Booker wet dream for All Out, two matches?
Go on, let me hear it.
I think this is just me. Super Booker extraordinaire here.
There you go.
I think we could get Daniel Bryan, now Bryan Danielson, taking on Kenny Omega. And I can see Jay White, the Forbidden Door is open. He's going to be on Impact tomorrow. Jay White coming in, and Jay White is the heel that CM Punk's going to debut for AEW, and then Jay White's going to play spoiler and beat him down, and you have the ultimate heel, and who's Jay White's been one of the best heels in wrestling, you know, like maybe a year ago he was. Now, and, you know. That remains to be seen, but he's one of the top heels. I think we could see that. Jay White and Punk and Omega and Bryan Danielson, those are two huge matches. You could put that on an all-out card. That's insane. That's going to – that you talk about the paradigm shift. That's going to change things.
Fred, okay. It's always a pleasure, man, when you call in, man. Hell, we didn't even talk
appreciate
about Detroit Lions, man. We had to get to that because I think training camp starts next weekend sometime, man. So again, man, anytime you want to, you know what I'm saying, split a couple of atoms, man, you know what I'm saying, friend of the program, call in for sure.
Hey, I'm putting it out here. Speaking of the Lions, what about going to the Rams Colts game at Lucas Oil?
That's week two, right?
I think it's the week two. That might be a fun outing. And, yes, I will be sporting a Rams Stafford jersey.
That might be a fun outing.
That will be a fun outing. Just throwing it out there.
Sounds good.
All right. Appreciate it, fellas. Thanks.
All right. Take it easy, buddy. All right. Fred Felner, KFAB Connection. John, we're going to go from there to our other guy here. D-Cot, what's going on?
I don't know what's going on right now. I got some news that somebody sent me some type of picture for my profile pic. Would you have known anything about that?
Yeah, I had a 20-minute discussion today on the golf course. I have people jumping at me because this hasn't been paid yet.
So I thought the statute of limitations. I forgot about it. Clearly, he forgot about it. So what you're saying is you took a heel turn, you came out under the ring with a steel chair. I had my back turned, and what do I get? Right.
If I had to put it in a wrestling term, it was like back in '98 when Vince McMahon ripped off the hood and said, "It's me, Austin. It was me all along.
Listen, no one can ever say I don't pay my debts, especially ones I remember. So I will pay my debt begrudgingly. But you just got to understand, he is going to pay the ultimate price for this. And he realizes that. It's coming, but that's okay. I'll take care of it. See, I just got in town. I was in St. Louis this last few days. I took in the Cubs-Cardinals game last night. Man, beautiful stadium.
What a comeback.
Beautiful stadium, man. Yeah. No. So that's why I'm kind of huffing and puffing a little bit. But hey, it was a good trip. A lot of good stuff I saw this week in St. Louis. But here's what I want to talk about: the bombshell that is the cash cow for the Big 12 wanting to come to the SEC. Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. They didn't say that just yet.
Listen. I've been on, I'm a Bama fan, so I've been watching SEC Network, XM84, the last 3 days. They hit a writer from the Houston Chronicles, I think, was just on with Feinbaum, but they were talking about it earlier, and it looks as though Texas and Oklahoma both reached out to Sankey, who's the president of SEC, and said, hey, commissioner of SEC, excuse me, and said, hey, we want to come. It's all a buzz. It's all a buzz right now, man.
No, you're right. You're right. They're in negotiations, so they gave back, Texas gave back some money. They before they leave, they're going to say, hey, man, Big 12, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give you back some money, some TV rights. That, if I read the whole
– Power move. That's all it is.
Here's
the problem, right? This is the second tier of that Big 8 debacle. Remember what happened with Houston, Rice? I forget who else it was when the Big 8 went away.
SMU.
It went to the Big 12. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then Iowa State's there. So I'm worried about what's going to happen with the Iowa State, Baylor's,
TCU.
TCU, those schools. Because think about this. The coach at Iowa State just talked about this past week at the Big 12 day, talking about how he wasn't looking to leave, how he's an Iowa State guy, he's a Midwest guy. Can you imagine? This guy is going to be a hot commodity anyway. There's no way he stays at Iowa State if Texas and Oklahoma leave, because the money is gone, the cachet is gone, and what else does he have to fight for?
Right.
Iowa State can't be the big dog in the pond. Yeah. So
yeah,
the Big 12
loses Texas, man, and I'll let Brandon chime in here. The Big 12 loses Texas, man, that is an ass kicker. That's not what they want. Even me and Brandon did that whole little graph where we reorganized everything. I don't necessarily think, though, just really wants that drama for your mama with Alabama.
Well, I just
money talks.
They got the Longhorn Network. They're the Michael Jordan of the 80s right now. There's no competition, even though they haven't won football since Vince Young.
But, man, Alabama's like the Patriots. I'm saying this as a Colts fan.
And I get it. I just don't see how the Big 12 can last, right? I don't see – it's got to be something else that Texas
–
Big 12 will be fine. From what I'm hearing, Big 12 will be fine because that's only the first move. From what I would say. So it would take a majority vote for Oklahoma and Texas to go there, which right now they said if you just take it off of interest from other schools, it'd be 13-1 to bring them in.
A&M.
The only team that would not was A&M because
A&M,
they left
A&M. Yeah,
wanting to be the
Brandon.
Only Texas team. But
Brandon said right. That's the first move. You know what the second move is? Go back and get Nebraska.
That's exactly what Nebraska wants to do. Nebraska wants to go back. So that opens up a Big Ten spot. Guess who Big Ten's already knocking on that door, and they've knocked on the door several times to go get?
Don't tell me.
Don't say Notre Dame.
No, to shame.
The Golden Domers. Dead
Lord
serious.
Have mercy.
Dead serious.
Man.
I'm telling you, there's a chess piece, and it's getting moved the right way. You'll like this, D.K. I just found a Twitter. I follow this guy on Twitter. He's pretty much said it perfectly, and he's a big SEC guy. Although the Big 12 just dropped to its knees last week and serviced Texas by bitching out the horns down again, And Texas right. just woke up the next morning, grabbed its keys, and left.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's what it's like. But, you know, to your point, though, Brandon, they're definitely, you know, now that I think about it, you got Nebraska who's flailing away in the Big Ten. You got a situation where it's going to be difficult still for Nebraska. But I think that's home. I think that's home.
Right.
I think that works.
Right. But you know what it's going to have to doing, guys? And this is the first step of six steps. We're getting that four super leagues. The four super conferences is what we're going to end up getting. It's got to go there. That's where the money's going to be. Not these conferences. It's going to be these four mega conferences. It's what's going to be.
And who else do you see coming with Nebraska potentially though, to the Big 12?
Go back to the Big 12, Colorado, maybe, because they're in the pack.
West Virginia.
They could go back. Or, I don't know about West Virginia. West Virginia can even stay out east. They need to stay in the ACC, in that ACC area. I don't like necessarily regionalizing anybody, but like those programs are fueled by rivalries, high school rivalries, and you know what I'm saying. This quarterback from Oklahoma decided to go to Oklahoma State instead of going to Oklahoma, or he decided to go to Texas. You know what I'm saying? When Nebraska moved to the Big Ten, all that went away. They brought their power and their name to go play Ohio State, Michigan. Man, we had a caller a couple months ago, man, that said there's always going to be blood rivalry between Ohio State and Michigan, always.
Yeah,
You have to stay with your natural. You have to stay with your natural rival. IU will never leave Purdue. Purdue will never leave IU. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, you know, to see the other dominoes. The Texas-Oklahoma thing, okay, fine, big deal. Nebraska, that's something to think about. Obviously, you know, West Virginia, I think, should still stay east. Colorado, remember that Colorado-Nebraska rivalry that was, I think, was early 90s, right? The kid that won the Heisman Trophy. Yeah. What's his name? He passed away. Salam. He played for the Bears. The year he won the Heisman. So I think there's an opportunity for maybe Colorado, Nebraska to go back, say, hey, this is what we were doing, right? So it's going to be interesting. But I tell you what, man, Brent, you say that, you know, Texas doesn't want the Bama problem, but that money talks, man.
I wonder if the conference is allowed to kick people out.
Kick out Missouri and Vanderbilt.
Well, you know who else they should kick out? Well, I don't know if you can kick it out because it's bad, but I mean, just because maybe they want the competitive advantage, and I would think that they would go after – maybe they go after and try to get Arkansas to the Big 12. I don't know if Arkansas wants to lose that money.
Well, that's the old Southwest Conference, right? And that was that Texas, Nebraska group, you know, back in the 60s and 70s. So at that time, Arkansas was one of the big dogs. So that could make some sense. But I think Arkansas has kind of cemented itself in the SEC now with the way they play baseball. Also, you know, where the basketball come along. So I don't know that Arkansas would be a willing participant to leave at this point. Maybe 15 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. Let me ask both of you this, man, because we can talk about this for a whole nother hour. Now we don't have that kind of time. Will we see power conferences, or I'm going to say power schools that have good football teams but greater basketball teams split, and just like we're going over here, you go over there, because Kentucky, they're not leaving the SEC. You see what I'm saying? They wouldn't ever.
No.
Yes, I mean,
sort of like what Notre Dame did some years ago, playing in the Big East with basketball, now in the ACC with football. Is that what we're talking about? I mean, that's a possibility.
That's what I'm talking about,
yeah. What rule do they have out there right now that says they can't? Because, as you remember, NCAA just came out and said, hey, listen, we're gonna take our hands off the steering wheel. You know, you gotta do what you want to do, and you got this, you know, NIL going and everything else.
Right.
We're just gonna take our hands off the steering wheel, and you do what you want. That's what and that would, you know, Johnson, that would give them an opportunity to do something like that, because they're trying to be hands off because of the liability, because they're saying that there's so much opportunity for liability. I think they're saying, you know, this is a good time to say, you know, You asked for it. Now you're getting it. So
I don't know, man. I know Texas is rebounding, man. I don't know if they're ready to deal with Alabama just yet. Not yet.
Well, you know, but it would be a good storyline, though. You're talking about Sark and Nick, right? You know, you're talking about Lane. Think about the you know, I don't know if you guys watched the Lane Kiffin part of the SEC. This guy's energetic. He talked about, you know, obviously dominating on the offensive side of the ball. He's talking a lot of trash, man. I mean,
Brandon loves Lane Kiffin. Loves him.
Lane train, baby.
Let me tell you this. I'm a big fan also. And if he has any type of success I think he'll have, it wouldn't surprise me that Alabama doesn't go far in finding next replacement with Lane up there in Ole Miss.
Ooh.
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
He'd be the luckiest, most blessed American coach in college history to leave Tennessee and USC, but Alabama.
He had a cup of coffee there.
But think about it though. Think about it though, Jonathan. If he has, if he grows his success from what he had last year on the offensive side with 5-5, the defense was terrible.
True.
We know that. They got to get better. Can you imagine he runs through about nine win seasons and some big bowl wins? Are you telling me that the people in Alabama wouldn't think, hey, come
bring
on
back?
Bring
him back, yeah.
But it depends on his successes over these next 3 or 4 years. But he's got to string a couple years together, though, I think, Brandon, for him to really say, for Alabama to say, this is our guy.
Oh, my God. Techno.
Hey, it starts this year, John. October 2nd, he's at Alabama, so they can knock off the Tide there.
Well, you know that's not going to happen. Let me tell you this. I was going in with some other guys in another group, right? I'm going to say it right now. Alabama went all in last year. The seniors came back. They played their upperclassmen a hell of a lot more than they normally do. They went all in for the title last year because of COVID and all of that. I'm telling you now, Alabama's going to have at least one loss, maybe two, and it wouldn't surprise me. And it wouldn't surprise me that Georgia comes out of the SEC. I mean, that's not a hot take or anything, but I think Georgia has been punched in the mouth so many times by Alabama and gotten hurt. I think this is the year that Georgia takes another step up. And although Alabama does have the best coach, best players, all that, I'm telling you, I've got a feeling that Bryce isn't going to be as good as I hope he is. And my issue is the running game. Alabama's running game, the last guy that we brought back, the only guy we have brought back from playing last year, had 245 yards, and his name escapes me off the top of my head. But, yeah, you get your replacements and all that. But I didn't see it even last year in his replacement time with Najee Harris.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see
Brian
the
Robinson.
Rest of the receivers. Like, yeah, no, Brian Robinson. I think Brian Robinson got hurt, if I remember right. Did he get hurt? Maybe, because he's from Alabama. Brian Robinson is from Alabama. It may have been. It could have been. Maybe not. But I just don't see the guys that Nico need to play big time had an opportunity to play big time last year. I just think they went all in and said, no, we're going to play. It's like the basketball. We're going to play seven guys. And that's it. We're going to play seven guys. And I think that's going to hurt them. I honestly feel that way.
You know
that's
who I like in that division?
Who's that?
I like Texas A&M. I do.
Yeah.
The way they finished last year, and this year they have a home game this year against Alabama. I think that's going to be key.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The reason why I'm not as high on A&M as a lot of people are, Kellen Mond was there for 4 years, right? And he got better each and every year, but they still couldn't overcome the Alabama factor. And whoever the two guys they've got fighting for the job right now, neither one of those guys are better than Kellen Mond. So it still starts with the quarterback, and the quarterback play was the issue for A&M against Bama the last 2 years for sure. Untimely picks and bad reads. I think that's going to happen again. They've got Texas A&M going to be better, definitely for sure. I see it as Georgia. I see.
John doesn't like hearing that.
No, man,
yeah,
they're the national disappointment.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting football season, and I'm ready for it too. So real quick, let's flip since we started with Notre Dame. Talk to me about Notre Dame because I don't follow Notre Dame at all. So do they have anybody? You know, I know Ian Book left. What's talk to me a little bit about Notre Dame. Give me a little update. Brandon, I know you've got some update for me.
Yeah, give me a second here. I've got them on my sheet. Boys, I love it. We're talking college football.
Program. We don't get no love to South Bend.
By the way, Ball State is Ball State's coming out ranked 49th nationally this year. So shout out to them.
Indiana's going to be top 15.
I don't know about that. Because we asked for media credentials from Notre Dame. They told Brandon to piss off, and I was not happy about it.
They told me kick rocks.
Brandon, you got to get with me then. You got to get with me on the Notre Dame train then.
Well,
they
I went to Catholic school. I went to Catholic school 1-8. I'm not about to convert to Catholicism just so I can go down to South Bend.
That's what they do on Saturday mornings, John. We got to be prepared.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness.
Give me a second. Notre Dame.
No, you're good.
Notre Dame, after a year in the ACC where they went undefeated in the regular season, they're independent back this year. This team will return many of their players from starters, extra years of eligibility. But they have 9 draft picks they got to replace, including the second 3 second rounders. There's one call for them to go, and I'm my Bible I read here, Phil Steele, calls for the Irish to go 12-0 again, so another legitimate playoff contender. The quarterback's Malik Willis, Jack Cohn is their starting quarterback. So,
well, I like Phil Steele, but he couldn't be more wrong at this point. I don't see Notre Dame going 12-0, but if they do, Alabama be waiting on for another one anyway, so we'll see how that goes.
Wait, hold on. So, first game they got Florida State, and Florida State was trash.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a win.
Then they got Toledo. That's another win. 2-0. Keep track. Then they got Purdue at home. That's another win.
3.
They play Wisconsin in Chicago.
I go Notre Dame on that one.
Yeah, probably would, 2-4.
Then they got a home game against Cincinnati.
5.
They go to Blacksburg against Virginia Tech, so that could get tough.
6.
Good, but I like 6.
Uh-oh.
Home game against USC.
7.
Stop.
Oh, man.
Stop it.
Home game against North Carolina.
8.
But do they
play any Division I teams?
Home game against Navy.
Oh, wow.
Lord. Oh, my goodness.
At Virginia.
Oh, Lord.
Home against Georgia Tech.
And
at Stanford.
I say 12-0.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Man, let me ask you. So can we get Notre Dame to play a Division I schedule?
Oh, man.
I'll tell you this, Ecott. Their schedule difficulty, because they have a rating here for every team's schedule difficulty, it's number 23 in the nation. So what's that tell you about these other schedules?
Oh, Lord have mercy. I just don't get it, man. None of these teams, I can't see anything in these teams you just mentioned. Nothing.
No. 12-0.
Maybe Virginia Tech, maybe 15 years ago.
Those Catholics know what they're doing.
Man, okay. Well, maybe they're just setting themselves up for another big loss in a potential, semifinal game against a real team.
They can't compete with the SEC speed. They never have.
No. Hey, but listen, I was listening to the guy talking about the wrestling. You guys got to let me know when you're going to have him on so I can get on earlier, man, and listen, because I missed most of it. But I look for Daniel Bryan going to AEW. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's gonna be pretty good. And with CM Punk coming back and gonna be on AEW as well, they're getting the firepower. I'm just nervous with all these guys. There's not a lot of airtime for them.
Yeah, well, to the point though, so many guys are getting hurt though, man. These guys are getting hurt left and right.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Well, I don't know what it is. So I think they gotta add more depth to the rosters because of that. That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah, I agree there. Both of you, we need to talk more college football coming up, but one day we'll get it, just talk college football. But Indiana Hoosiers, they're not getting a lot of love to repeat what they did last year. Just going to throw that out there.
Well, if the quarterback is healthy, it's going to be the key. at the quarterback gets back, and he's a man. If he can be what he was last year, Penix Jr., I see no reason why they can't be number two in the East again. They're in the East. Yeah, they're in the East.
Correct. Yeah.
Number two in the East behind Ohio State again. I see no reason why they couldn't be. So
there we go.
So we'll see what happens. But definitely, I'll definitely bring you guys back. And yes, I'll update my profile, and I'll tag you guys when I do.
Sounds good, Decott. Next week, get prepared. I want your prediction on the Pacers draft pick, trade or draft.
Oh! I got my invite. I'm probably going to be there. It's in Carmel this year. It's not at the Brothers downtown. It's in Carmel at some Carmel something center. I'm going to be there because I want to see this, man.
Be careful up here.
Yeah, no doubt, right? definitely doing my social distancing, right? But I'm going to be there. I'm going to look at some stuff this weekend, man, and see what realistic opportunities we got to get a difference maker. Also, too, I'm not opposed to a trade. I'm not opposed to some type of big, multiple player deal that includes either Miles or Sabonis along with the guard from Milwaukee who's a troublemaker who can't stay healthy. Yeah,
right.
Malcolm. I look for something big, man. We got a lot of scores as it is, man. We got a lot of scores. We got guys that can score. What about finding somebody that can shut somebody down? And I think we talked about it last week or the week before about Simmons. Simmons, can't hit a free throw in an empty gym. But man, he sure can play some defense, man.
Yeah.
And his contract is, I think, the only thing that would probably be a big push for the Pacers right now. Because he's got three years left, right, at about $36 million, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, his last year, he makes like $40 million. And, reclamation projects is not – I don't necessarily think – we can get to a little bit. I don't think reclamation projects around here is what the Pacers is kind of looking for. But I wouldn't be opposed to making a trade
Be sure to look out on Facebook page, the Crossroads Facebook page, Jonathan Birdsong. He's putting out his picks. He's got his top four. He will by next week have the Pacers pick posted on there, what's going to happen with his official prediction.
And I'll definitely be commenting on it too. So you guys be safe. Love the show again, fellas. Y'all be safe.
Thanks, Decott.
All right,
that's Decott. John, I got the warm and fuzzies when we started talking Michigan. We start talking Ohio State, Alabama, these type of teams. College football is back, my guy.
Dude, Drew Plitt is down there. He got invited to the Manning passing camp. I'm not saying he's gonna be a pro player or anything like that, man. He took his the extended year that the NCAA provided all seniors. This past year due to the COVID pandemic. But, like, yeah, man, Ball State is favored to win. I know, five, blah, blah, blah. But Ball State's favored to win the MAC again this year.
Yep, absolutely. I just got my Ball State alumni book in the mail. What's a brother or two got to do to get put in this Ball State alumni book? I mean, we're doing big things here at Crossroads. Just going to throw that out there.
We got to get on David Letterman's Christmas card list.
Apparently. And, hey, by the way, secret, kind of started doing my prep work, like I said, for the college football season and everything. Guys, everybody listening, Crossroads Nation, you can't forget about Jonathan Sleeper. You know Jonathan is going to put this team up in his top five again because he says this is the year. This has to be the year, right? And this is the team I'm talking about. Jonathan Birdsong thinks the Michigan Wolverines, this is the year for Hardball, right, John? Hardball, this is the year.
Oh, man, I know Fred Felton from Cape Heaven Connection is probably listening again, man. He can't fail this year. Tyler Finley from the recorder, He can't. Yeah, Hardball and the Michigan Wolverines cannot fail. They cannot have a down year like they had last year at all.
Yeah.
He can't afford it. Well, he can afford it, but he just won't be the head coach anymore.
Hey, real quick before we go to our break, we only got 35 minutes left in the show. NBA Finals, if they can just move it from ABC, ESPN, by the way, Maria Taylor left. That was shocking. Her last show was last night. She said deuces. But if they could just move it to back to NBC, and you're sitting there at 9 o'clock to put on the NBA Finals, and then all of a sudden you just hear it, and it's...
Nah, man.
Tonight, Game 6
in the NBA on NBC.
I win. It's so nostalgic. Brandon.
Tonight, Game 6 of the Knicks and the Pacers from Madison Square Garden.
That's your best Marv Albert? Marv Albert.
No, shout out Marv Albert. That was just my announcement, the guy that does it on the intro. Shout out, I just rewatched the Pacers NBA series with the Lakers, the all six games. I just rewatched that recently too. Yeah. By the way, next month, I know our listeners are going to be happy as hell, but it is coming back. Final season.
Oh my God.
The final part of the season. You gotta get slick. Get everybody in. Get everybody prepared. Hey, what is your favorite theme? Sport, are we just talking sports theme, the NBA on NBC? Is that probably your top number one or so, you'd think? Is it Monday Night Football? Like, what gets you going? What got your juices going?
Oh, man, I got to get my thoughts going, man. But the NBC one is stuck in my head, man. That's a pretty good one. It'd probably be Monday Night Football, not the Hank Williams version. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know, that's real country. I'm a little rock and roll. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But probably, you know what I'm saying? Dun, 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 dun. That's probably my favorite.
Okay. Yeah, I have a tie, I would say. That one is probably my favorite of all time, the NBA on NBC. If I had a second one, this one's always growing on me, probably because the sport's been gone so long, and then it comes back that first Sunday night. And you got fucking Brady sitting there throwing the warm-ups, Peyton Manning on the other end. You got the first big matchup on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
So I like that one, but this one to me, John, I just picture it a nice sunny day, cool, the sun's out shining, it's apple picking season, and then about 3:30 in the afternoon, you turn on your TV and you get this. Give me that SEC on CBS.
Oh, God.
Give it to me. Oh, nothing better. But what we're going to do real quick, the other best sounder that we have is, of course, our great, great favorite State Farm and Mavericks Custom Motorsports, which you're going to hear right now.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm Agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Shout out to our other Mavericks Custom Motorsports, another sponsorship. They ship worldwide. Custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lightings, and more. They carry all the top brands and much, much more. Find them out today, MavericksCustomMotorsports.com or 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Mavericks Custom Motorsports. They got everything you need and more. All right, John, we are back. Shout out to both of our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols and Mavericks Custom Motorsports. The Open this past weekend over in Sandwich, England, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be up early to watch that, John. Started at 1 o'clock, but Sunday's final round was there was a lot of drama early in the morning. The lead heat off at 9 a.m. Colin Morikawa wins, gets his second major, adding on to the PGA Championship. Jordan Spieth, my God, Jordan Spieth made a huge run, got the putter back working, finished second, two shots back. John, he bogeyed 17 and 18 on Saturday when he's been birdieing those two holes previously, that would, I mean, those, he lost by two strokes. That would have been it. That proved the difference. Poor Louis Oosthuizen. He's lost another major. That's the third major just this year. He's been the leader going into this third or fourth round and lost.
Brandon, when I look at it, I mean, there's that drama too, right, of Jordan Spieth, man, because, again, he was just 3 years ago, I do believe he was the hottest golfer, you know what I'm saying, not named Tiger Woods, you know what I'm saying, and for him to kind of keep on either not making a cut or making a cut and getting this close, he's getting into Chris Paul, he's getting into Chris Paul territory, right? Not to take anything away from Colin Mirakawa's win. Again, he's one of my. Once I start learning the game of golf and like learning some of the players are, you know what I'm saying, for him being a young superstar. I won't say superstar, for him being a young star in the golf game today. There's going to be more going forward. There's going to be more eyes kind of watching to see, you know what I'm saying, can he build on it? Can he? You know what I mean? Again, the golf world. You know what I'm saying? Brandon, if I'm right or wrong, you know what I'm saying? He kind of lives, he don't necessarily live and die on Tiger Woods, but like when he's playing, man, it's all eyes on Tiger. And it's all I name is, if all eyes are on Tiger, that means all eyes is on the golf world, right? They don't necessarily have an heir apparent type of situation like the NBA does. You know what I'm saying? Who's the next Michael Jordan? Who's the next, you know what I'm saying, Kobe and all and so forth. But like Colin Mirakawa is kind of in that lane. You know what I'm saying? Kind of, you know what I'm saying? They are, golf is kind of looking for the next somebody they can kind of hook a, you know what I'm saying, the anchor to, not anchor to, but a hook the, you know what I'm saying, hook a, you know, a little marketing to, and, you know what I'm saying, and take the game of golf, you know what I'm saying, and spread the, you know what I'm saying, the goodwill of golf around the world, right? And I think Colin Mirakawa was that guy. Colin Mirakawa could be that guy. He's got to get more consistent wins, big major wins. He's won some minor golf tournaments. When you think about the Workday charity event that they have, and he's won the Barracuda, I do believe, once or twice before. But the 2020 PGA last year and now the 2021 Open this year, like I said, man, it's going to be more eyes that's kind of wanting him to do even more. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? When the Masters rolls around, they're going to want him, you know what I'm saying, to potentially, you know what I'm saying, win that. So outside of that, though, Brandon, man, the other drama that you failed to kind of talk about was Bryson DeChambeau. And and blaming his I can't remember the name of the brand of
Cobra
golf iron. It's Cobra, yeah. So he basically goes out there on the after because he sucked it up, right? And he basically says that the iron sucked or whatever, which I thought was hilarious because then the people from Cobra said that they knew that their iron had, there was some talks about it being, you know what I'm saying, less than it should be, but then they kind of went back to Bryson. So it's probably good. It's good that, you know what I'm saying, it was good for, you know what I'm saying, media back and forth, you know what I'm saying, like kind of listen to a little bit, man, but I've never seen a sponsor kind of go back at a golfer.
They said that Bryson, well, he's never happy and he's always complaining. That's what the sponsor even said. Like, screw you, dude. We're giving you these clubs. It's not the club. It's you that don't know how to hit the club to begin with, and it kills their sales. And I love the fact – it was a Cobra driver is what it was. I love the fact that Brooks Koepka, who played well on Saturday and Sunday and finished tied for fifth, in his exit interview, he goes, you know, I struck the ball pretty well this weekend. I love my driver and Taylor May as well. The fact that he says I love my driver, that's another little dig at Bryson, which I love. Bryson's just an asshole. That's what he is. He is. He's got no friends. He fired his caddy. He sucked ever since then. It's just Bryson being Bryson.
Yeah.
So and golfers all, and I'll give him a pass because all golfers say, like, my driver sucked. Like, not saying the club itself sucked, but just my driver sucked for me today. Like, it's not the driver's fault, obviously. You know?
Right.
It's the person that used it. So I think it kind of ran a little more, ignited a little more than it needed to, just probably because it's Bryson, but, you know, whatever. That's the last major of the year. No more majors. Normally there was the PGA, but that was played in April this year, or May, and normally it's played in September. So, but what we do have this year is we have the Olympics. Olympic golf's going to be coming up. John Rahm's the favorite to win the gold medal. For the Olympics. in golf. If you think back, Justin Rose, he won it previously for England last Olympics. And then we've got, I believe, Ryder Cup this year, which is, John, if there is a event that you need to watch, if you want to get into golf, it's the Ryder Cup, because these guys, just Google Ryder Cup fans or so, and just are on YouTube. Uh-huh. It's amazing because the fans are sitting there doing cheers for USA against Europe. They're sitting there talking trash to the players, and before they hit, and then they, like, if they mess up a shot, they're all screaming and cheering. If they hit a good shot, the other people are yelling boos. It is one of the most, the coolest events ever, and I've actually been to it one time when it was at here in Kentucky at Valhalla. But mm-hmm. it is a cool event. Once it comes up, we'll dive into it a little bit more. But that, it's an awesome, awesome event, and there's some really good matches that come out of it as well. So
sure,
looking forward to that. Hey, if you want a future bet right now to put on for baseball, put some money on the Brewers to win the Brewers to win the World Series. Brewers are scary good. They've got four great pitchers. They're playing well. They're taking over the Central Division. They basically have won that division. I mean, they've got an 11-game lead, I think, now. But I like the Brewers team, John. They are sneaky good. They've got great pitching, what you need in the postseason. Just remember this, on July, whatever today is, Milwaukee Brewers, I said, put some money on the Brewers to win the World Series.
Man, that'd make Milwaukee the city of the champions.
Would it not? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So remember that when it comes to it. Sad to hear John Bobby Bowden, terminally ill, 91 years old. So he's getting up there in age, but he's at peace. Announced today that he is suffering from a terminal illness. So Bobby coached 35 years, I think, at Florida State, won two national titles. I think 93 and 99, if I remember right. I think it was Charlie Ward and Chris Winkie. There's your trivia question mm-hmm. for you as his quarterbacks. But just sad to see with him not getting as well there. NFL-wise, dude. John, what?
I'm glad we got to get on this NFL stuff, man. We got to talk about A-Rod. We got to talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. So it's third on my list. First off, I've got your boys, Peyton and Eli. They're going to have a mega cast on ESPN2 for Monday Night Football. John, nobody's going to watch the ESPN cast anymore.
No, it's going to be all Peyton, man, and Eli, man. Southern hospitality. I love it.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I'm definitely going to watch that more than I'm going to watch the Booger and all them. I can't stand that, watching them for that. Vince Williams, Pittsburgh Steeler, outside linebacker. He was cut after the season was over in February. They brought mm-hmm. him back this summer on a better structured deal. And then today, just right before we started the show, he did announce his retirement officially after 7 years. So Steelers losing Vince Williams, big outside linebacker. I hate to see it, him losing him. But, you know, with that outgoing, you know, hey, they just signed Melvin Ingram. They're going to give it a ride, see what Ingram can do. I know he's coming off an injury from last year. But
right.
If he can come in, get 6-7 sacks with this defense and work with, hey, and if he's on a team with the Slim Ben Roethlisberger, that ain't Slim Harden. That's right. Slim Roethlisberger. The sky's the limit.
Yeah, I'm sure King of Trolls is going to troll you about it. Your Steelers still suck. But, like, nah, man. I don't think the Steelers is just there's still some life in that organization. And I think the NFC, I'm sorry, the AFC North is going to be black and blue this year.
Colts. Word today was that the Colts and Darius Leonard are working on a mega deal. Going to be worth more than $19 million a year, and looking at a 4-year contract. So we're looking 4 years, $80 million for Darius Leonard. Right now he's making $3.4 million this year. Extension is expected here shortly, according to Ian Rappaport.
Yeah, he's putting the work. He kind of a little bit of a down year. I mean, anybody except for Tom Brady, right? Everybody kind of had like a down year last year. But he's putting the work. Best tackler that they have.
They just got to find a way, you know what I'm saying, to get better. You know what I'm saying, to put more pressure on the quarterback as a unit totally, you know what I'm saying? But he's definitely, you know what I'm saying, he's definitely done enough to put, you know what I'm saying, be worth that $19 million contract, so per year contract. So shout out to him. Kudos to him.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, here's a crazy stat real quick I had of Bobby Bowden. I forgot to mention. From 1987 to 2000, Florida State won 10 games or more every year and never finished a season outside the top five. In those 14 seasons, they won 11 bowl games and 2 national titles. That's excellence there. Yeah, so shout out to that. That's a hell of a stat line there for him. The other thing, NFL, John, and I'm ready to hear your hot take on it because, quite frankly, I think you're just tired of hearing about it. Aaron Rodgers turned down a 2-year extension, says, hey, I don't want the money. You could have been the highest paid quarterback in the league. It's not about the money, he says.
I mean, yeah, and now at this point you have to believe him. You gave him enough time. I always get irritated by it. They say, when reporters say, somebody's got to get in and talk to Aaron Rodgers, the general manager. Like, dude, they talked. There's no reason that the vice president, the owner, they've all talked to Aaron Rodgers. He don't want to be there. Would you want to go back after you laid the egg in the NFC Championship game at home? You laid the egg.
No.
I don't care. You can say, I mean, I know the analytics will say the coach, what the hell was the coach doing? What was Matt LaFleur doing? You know what I'm saying? With some of that play calling down the stretch. But Aaron Rodgers still laid an egg. Okay? But here's the thing, though, Brandon. This is what drives me crazy with him, man. Like, dude, anywhere you go at this stage of the game, like, in order for you to get traded, like, the team's going to have to send a whole lot of cachet and capital to get you. And then you're going to be going to – it's just going to be all eyes on you, and I don't know if he's that good. He's good. There's no doubt about it.
Uh-oh.
He's good. But, like, lead the team with less guys, less named guys, or less, you know what I mean? I'm talking about statistically. I'm not necessarily talking about Pro Bowl. He has, because the truth be told, he played with some Pro Bowl level offensive weapons. He has in his years in Green Bay. But this would be the best team if he was to go back. This would be the best chance he had to go back to the Super Bowl. It really would. You know what I mean? And I'm not
right.
saying he's not. I mean, if he retires today, man, he's still a Hall of Famer, all that. I get it, man. But, like, I'm tired of the going back and forth. I'm tired of the, well, I just want to be respected. Okay. I just want to be heard. I want my voice to be heard. We've heard your voice, Aaron. They even offered you to make him the highest paid quarterback in the league. He doesn't want to be there. So what you should do if you're Green Bay, pull the trigger. Now you got to decide. Now that's on them to decide where, since they you know, they have the say in the contract and where it goes to be traded,
right?
You know what I'm saying? And what they get back in return, right? But they at this point just let it go.
Just breathe it out, right?
Just breathe it out, let it go, and then automatically the NFC North becomes wide open.
Uh oh. That's interesting. All right, John, we got our boy. King of Trolls, Reggie Sykes. What's going on, Reg?
What's going on?
Oh, we're talking from Aaron Rodgers.
I heard Jonathan talking like he's really tired of it. You know, the NFL has to find a way to stay in the news. The NBA playoffs just ended and everything. So, you know, they like to have this little drama going on with Aaron Rodgers and everything. And keep him in the news. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was just on TV. You know, celebrity golf, and then he was playing out there in Nevada or somewhere, California, and celebrity golf tournament, playing pretty good. But I tell you what, Jonathan,
I'm listening.
Your buddy Brandon put my life in jeopardy today, man.
Oh man,
he put my life in jeopardy
today. I heard about this injury.
Yeah, man. He's like, man, he can hit the ball. Man, that dude hit the ball, hit the golf cart, hit me in my wrist, man. My wrist blew up like somebody's eye.
I think he
and
aimed
he
at you purposely.
Want me to win, man. No, that's because you wouldn't move. He ain't going to hit you. Just hit here. You know, I'm like, dang, Brandon, man, you trying to get the brother injured and everything, you know? But
y'all didn't have any beverages above 2% alcohol in the Allen's golf course, did you?
I think that he was drinking Michelob Ultra, so he should have been okay, you know?
Right.
I don't know
like
what he was drinking last night, didn't come back down. I don't know what the heck Brandon was doing, man.
Hey, I did like the trash talk between you and Elgin.
Hey, Elgin sucks, man. I done beaten him 3 times this week, man. He's hot garbage, and I'm coming for you next because you want to put my life in danger, you know? but, man, I know y'all probably haven't talked about the NBA, man, but congrats goes out to the Milwaukee Bucks and the new best player in the NBA, the Greek Freak. I mean, James hasn't been the best in a long time. So, you know, it's the Greek Freak now, you know, and well-deserved, you know. James is more worried about playing on back-to-back nights and trying to get Chris Paul and Westbrook there and everything. Well, Laker fans, you know, that's how Laker fans rebuild, just like Dr. J said. The Lakers are the New York Yankees of basketball. They buy their belt. They buy their championship.
Hey, man, I'm glad I got you on the phone. Hey, man, because I want to hear more about what happened on this golf course. But, man, Dr. J, he should be ashamed of himself that he said the super team when he played with Moses Malone.
Brandon, we had this discussion on Facebook. Dr. J was sold off to somebody first, and I think it got turned down.
From the Nets.
So he had to go to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Now, the Philadelphia 76ers, they drafted Andrew Toney. They drafted
Maurice Cheek.
They drafted Dawkins, even though he went on the championship team. They drafted players. They traded for Caldwell Jones. Moses Malone wanted to be
in
Houston, but Houston didn't want to pay him $1 million.
True.
So,
was he not?
So,
he was MVP. Reggie, he was the season before. He was
the
MVP of the league the season before.
But he didn't demand a trade. He did not demand a trade.
Oh, my God.
He did not. No, he did not. Houston didn't want to trade him. That was the beginning of the tanking era. Houston tanked to get Hakeem Olajuwon. That was the beginning of that era. Everybody Philadelphia got, they either drafted or they traded for because the other team didn't want them. Now, that's
what
not building a super team. A super team is when Chris Bosh, James, and Dwayne Wade get together. A super team is when Kyrie Irving, KD, and the other guys get together. Those are super teams. Super teams
they traded for James
when,
Harden. They traded for James Harden. Yeah.
Because he demanded a trade from Houston. I couldn't
have What about Detroit? 2004, that team.
No,
that was not a super
well,
team.
I don't know.
They get in
Brandon, some of those dudes are cast-offs, and Tayshaun Prince was drafted. But you bring up a good point about Detroit. What about Mark Aguirre, Reggie, when he asked
they traded for
Dallas?
Him? I don't remember Mark Aguirre demanding a trade from Dallas. I don't remember that.
Correct me if I'm wrong. No, Isaiah Thomas and my guy wasn't getting along. I can't think of his name. His name is Casey right now. Small forward. Shame on me. If D-Cop was on here, he'd remind me. But small forward.
D-Cop don't know Jack.
Anyway,
but I like how you slid that in there.
I know,
anyway,
right? That's disrespect
anyway,
to you.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
Mark,
but that's okay.
Mark Aguirre and Isaiah Thomas is buddies off court. Get me out of Dallas.
Mark, do you really think Mark Aguirre put
Mark
Detroit Wyatt over the hoop as far as winning that championship?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt, Reggie.
I don't see that. And super, just because you put together a super team, as we see with the Nets, as we see with the Lakers this year, as we see with the Lakers when they got Karl Malone and Gary Payton, super teams don't always guarantee you a win. So
now,
if you draft players.
True. Drafting players automatically give you a win either.
You're right. So,
ask the Pacers.
You know, every time the Pacers have not drafted well. When Wash was over the Pacers, the Davis boys trading for Mark Jackson, drafting Reggie Miller over Steve Alford. Who did I say? So the Davis boys, they did great drafting back in the day, you know, and then trading for Jalen Rose. You know,
Smith.
Actually, the Pacers would have been pretty good by now if it hadn't been for injuries. Clark Kellogg, Stipo, if those two guys had played together, the Pacers would have been pretty good because Stipo could play. Stipo was a good player. And then don't forget the Pacers drafted Rick Smith. So the Pacers, before Pritchard and Bird, they used to draft pretty good when Wash was in charge. So you can't take that away from
them. I'm not taking that, but like the super team thing, man, like, listen. That's like, who wouldn't want to play with the best players of possible? That's
man,
all I'm saying.
I never heard Larry Bird say, come play with me, Magic. I never heard Michael Jordan say, come play with me,
Reggie.
Isaiah Thomas.
Reggie,
I've never heard.
He had his own.
Reggie, Red Auerbach fooled people. Red Auerbach fooled the Golden State Warriors. Whoever's running Golden State was must have been playing with sticks and stones in their back pocket, man, because they traded Joe Barry Carroll for Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale. Come on, man.
Sometimes trades happen and they work out for one team and they don't work out for another team. Let me give you an example.
Let me tell you how James Worthy. Go ahead.
Let me listen to you because you didn't make me forget my example. Let me listen to you, and I'm going to give you an example of a trade
working out
for somebody
example,
who doesn't work. Let's say. You got me stumped now. The trade did not work out for the Lakers or Son and Karl Malone or Gary Payton thinking they was going to win a championship. Did that work out?
It didn't
work out. So trade doesn't always work out for the team that they think is going to work out. And now that I think about it, Boston built a few super teams back in the day. You know, like you said, with the guys from Golden State and everything. You know, they built some teams like that. But the Lakers are by far, the New York Stankies of the NBA.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. New York Stankies of the NBA.
There it
you
is.
You got to know. Your scouting department got to know who can play and who can't. And I can't help that Pat Riley, when he was with the Lakers, knew who couldn't play. And then that's what he did, you know what I'm saying, when he was in Miami. Whereas he's still in Miami. He knows how to play
better than anybody else. He did it in L.A. How did Milwaukee get Kareem? How did Milwaukee get Michael Cooper and Norm Nixon?
Some of those players got drafted, but, like, you know, Magic Johnson.
Not by the Lakers?
Michael Cooper got drafted by the Lakers. Byron Scott got drafted by the Lakers.
Michael Cooper did not get drafted by the Lakers, I don't think.
Here we go.
I need to Google it. I could be wrong.
Well, I'll Google it while you guys go at it.
Well, he's a five-time NBA champion with the Lakers.
And I know Norm Nixon wasn't drafted by them. I know Kareem wasn't drafted by them. They drafted James Worthy. They did draft James Worthy. You know, I was wrong.
No, he was drafted in the third round, pick number 60, by the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay, I told you I could be wrong. I know I could be wrong. But the Lakers have built teams over the years. Every time some super player comes available, the Lakers, AD, we're going to get AD. Paul George, we're going to get Paul George. James, we're going to get James. Every time a superstar, now they think they're going to get Dame Lillard. They don't think they're going to get Damian Lillard.
Hold on, Rich, because we're going to run out of time, and I don't want to run out of time. Listen, remember that we could have had AD, too. The Pacers just didn't want to do it.
Who could have had AD?
No, they had the same agent. Paul George and Anthony Davis at one point had the same agent, and AD was signed to the Pacers.
AD wasn't coming to the Pacers. He barely wanted to be in New Orleans.
I found a story for you, Red, since you don't believe the words of myself.
Hey, man. Don't be posting propaganda like Trumpsters, okay, man? Don't be doing that, man.
Oh, my God.
I love listening to you two go back and forth. I appreciate that.
AD didn't want to come here. There were some people that wanted to come. I didn't think Byron Scott, man, coming here. I didn't think Dave West mind coming here. You know, there are a few players' trades that the Pacers made. I didn't think Mark Jackson mind coming here. There are some trades that I didn't think Chris Mullin mind coming here. There are some trades that the Pacers made for the players, but these were old school players. New school players worried about their brand. And I'm surprised more of them don't try to go to New York. But they want to go to the Lakers. They want to go to the Clippers. They want to go to Miami.
So Lonzo Moore and Larry Johnson. Lonzo Moore and Larry Johnson was worried about their brand. They never, but neither one of them stayed with Charlotte.
I mean, when Grandmama left Charlotte, and I really don't like Grandmama because he hit that shot after the buzzer went off. That's when they went to the red backboard so they can see it to beat the Pacers.
Yep.
I really don't like Grandmama. I don't like Ben Wallace. I just don't like them because they have been detrimental to the Indiana Pacers on cheating.
God.
You know,
Reggie,
so,
and you don't like D-Cock.
And I don't like D-Cock. I don't like Elgin Reeves. And today I don't like Brandon Reeves either.
Oh,
whoa!
Yeah,
I didn't do nothing wrong. You have beef with Jonathan today, not me.
No. You was talking too much trash on the golf course.
Reg,
Jonathan.
Reg, we run out of time.
Don't ask him how he played on hole 18. He threw the ball away.
Reg, we run out of time, man. I'm going to send you an ice pack, man.
Oh, shit.
Later, y'all.
See you, Reg.
Later, King of Trolls.
My goodness.
Lane with him, that dude.
Yeah, you guys are going back. You had the love. I hit him. I hit him with the Price is Right sounder. Hey, Reggie, Jonathan wanted me to, I know he's not on anymore, but if you're still listening, Reggie, Jonathan wanted me to play this sound for you. When you come at Jonathan with these sports takes.
Stay off the weed.
Oh,
stay off the weed. All right, John. I don't have anything else. Good show tonight, 6:30 to 8:30.
Yeah.
A different timing, but I'll let you kind of do your thing to get us wrapped up for the evening.
No, man. Different time of the same greatness as the same as it ever was, man. It was great having Fred Felton from the KFAB Connection call in. It's great talking with D-Cott. He got us fired up about football. And then Red kind of brought us home as I had to educate him on, like, how the NBA works and potentially life. Anyway, man, outside of that, man, I want to say thank you to not only to our sponsors.
Oh, wait, real quick.
Ahead.
Space Jam 2 review. I gave it a B-. They,
wow. There you go.
It was almost like Warner Brothers and all them, they dropped to their knees and serviced LeBron James as much as they kissed his ass in that movie. I like LeBron, but damn, kissed his ass a lot. People are trying to compare it to the other one. You can't, because there was technology in 94 when they made it that was equivalent to, and it's technology in this type of era. I think they did it well with that. Overall, I gave it a B-. I thought a lot of people would hate on it, but I've seen a lot of decent reviews, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to check it out for sure, man. But, like, man, as I was before we end the show, man, I want to thank all the listeners. You know what I'm saying? We get a lot of people to comment, friends of Brandon, friends of mine, and then there's people that just kind of follow Crossroads Sports on the Facebook page and on both our Twitter handles, whether it be Crossroads Sports at Twitter or even Three Foolish Men or even Brandon Reef. You know what I'm saying? You can find us all. Find us there as well. We get a lot of interaction. And I just want to say thank you to, you know what I'm saying, the people who like our stuff, our content, and like what we have to say. But also, you know, kind of go back at us and kind of give their own opinion, or it might be further than ours. But other than that, man, thanks to both our sponsors, man, Scott K. Nicholas, State Farm Insurance, and Mavericks Custom Motorsports for those two, man. We couldn't do this, man. So, again, man, great show. We're going to do it again next week, man. Outside of that, man, thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.